the words of verse 22 that I want us to consider this evening. We find here David's self-exhortation and his self-encouragement in the midst of his painful adversity. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The psalm is generally considered to have been written at the time of Absalom's rebellion and the betrayal by Ahithophel, David's trusted counselor. Here the psalm depicts a time of great tumult in the city of Jerusalem. Verse 9, he talks about violence and strife being in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. Here is a time of great tumult within the city. It's a time when David has been forced to flee and to abide in the wilderness. He speaks about remaining in the wilderness in verse 7. And then he talks about that season of betrayal which came to him from Ahithophel, when he speaks of taking sweet counsel together and walking into the house of God in company, only then to be forsaken and betrayed by his counselor. So this scene here is a time of great tumult and a time of great treachery. And David, in these circumstances, is exhorting himself to cast his burden upon the Lord. When we come to verse 22, you see here that he's speaking, but he's speaking to himself. If you read the context here, that is the sense in which these words are to be interpreted. When he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, he's talking to himself. He's exhorting himself as he considers the perplexity and the painfulness of his circumstances and all these things that have happened within the city and from within his own household. The exhortation that he gives here is an exhortation to himself. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So he's exhorting himself, and he's also encouraging himself. He's exhorting himself to cast his burden upon the Lord, and he's encouraging himself that in doing so, the Lord will sustain him in the midst of his trial and in the midst of his adversity. Now the psalm generally, and these words in particular, bring much application to our own hearts and to our own lives as believers. And that is the sense in which I want us to look at them this evening. Because you will notice here in verse 22 that David describes, first of all, the reality of burden bearing. He describes his circumstances and the experience of those circumstances as his burden. You see how he uses the personal pronoun, cast thy burden. This is thy burden. This is my burden. These things that have come upon me, these circumstances, they are a burden. And that word burden generally denotes something that is carried, a weight that is laid upon our shoulders, a pressure that is placed upon us, something that we have got to carry. It is a weight upon us. And as he looks at his circumstances, he describes them as a burden. This is a weight upon me. This is a pressure that is upon my heart and upon my life at this particular time. And what David is doing here is recognizing the reality that life in general and the Christian or the spiritual life in particular is associated with the bearing of a burden. Here's a man of God, a man after God's own heart, and he's walking in the way of the Lord. Remember that he had strayed from the Lord, but he had repented of his sin. He is restored to the Lord, and yet As he walks in that pathway, there is a burden to be borne. And that is characteristic of life. It's not the message that men and women want to hear, but it is the message that the Bible sounds forth. Life consists of bearing a burden. And as you read through the Bible, you'll find that the Bible describes many different kinds of burdens. For instance, in Psalm 38 and verse 4, David here says, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." There's the burden of sin. And if we sin against the Lord, then that sin will become a burden to us. It will be a weight upon our heart, a weight upon our soul, the burden of sin. But then the Bible also speaks about the burden of service. If you turn to Numbers chapter 4, instruction is given in this chapter to the various families of the tribes of Levi. And each family is given their particular work and service regarding the tabernacle in the wilderness. Look at Numbers 4 and the verse 19. We read there of the family of the Kohathites, "But thus do unto them that they may live and not die, when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in, and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden." The service of the Lord that they were engaged in, dismantling the various parts of the tabernacle, carrying them through the wilderness, setting them up again when they encamped, it's described as a burden. This is the burden of service. Look at verse 32. "And the pillars of the courts round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords, with all their instruments, with all their service, by name, and by name ye shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden." That word charge means something that is appointed. They have been appointed a burden to carry in the work of God, in the service of the Lord. The Lord appoints this burden of service. If you look at Numbers chapter 11, you'll find that Moses described his calling as a burden. Numbers 11 and verse 10, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers." And as you read on, you find that the Lord on this occasion appoints others who will come alongside and help to bear the burden. Verse 17, "I will come down and talk with thee, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Here's the burden of service. And Moses had been called to bear that burden. And the Lord now appoints others, 70 elders of Israel, who would assist Moses in bearing this burden of the congregation of the Lord's people. So there is a burden in service. And isn't it interesting when you read about the various families in Levi, that when we looked at that verse in chapter 4, that it talked about the pins and the cords, and there was a work for somebody to do in bearing the pins of the tabernacle, the very little things. And yet Moses, we find here, being the appointed leader, bearing the whole congregation. But the point is that everyone had a part to play in the carrying of this burden of service. So there is a burden to be borne. The burden of sin brought about by our transgressions. A burden that is to be got rid of. But then when we get rid of the burden of sin through salvation, the Lord places a new burden upon us. It is the burden of service. My burden is light, he says. The burden of service. Job speaks of another burden. It is the burden of suffering. Job chapter 7, verse 20. He says there, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? Job now is in the depths of his despair as a result of the great afflictions that had come upon him. And he feels the burden of it. He views himself as a burden. He himself is burdened on account of these great calamities, these great afflictions that have come upon him. There's the burden of suffering. And so we find that through the scriptures, the Word of God identifies the reality of burden bearing. There is a burden to be borne. But the word that David uses here in Psalm 55 is a word which not merely carries the idea or contains the idea of a weight carried. It has a far deeper meaning, a far deeper significance. And if you turn to Psalm 60, you will find what that significance is. In the verse 11, you will find the root verb from which this word burden is derived from. He says there in Psalm 60, verse 11, give us help from trouble. And it's at that opening word, give, to give. And it's from this root that David draws forth this word burden that he uses in Psalm 55. And so the word literally means that which is given. And you see how that puts a whole new light, a whole new significance upon the word. If we think upon the word burden in its general sense, its general application, it's dealing with a weight that presses down upon us, a pressure that's put upon us. But the word that David uses here contains the idea of that which is given. That which is given. That which is appointed or allotted to us by the Lord in his providence. Cast that which is given to thee upon the Lord. This is the gift of the Lord. It is that which the Lord has appointed to us. You see, the latter part of the verse would bring that out. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And the word suffer there has the idea of permitting. The Lord permits certain things in our lives, but he will never permit the righteous to be moved. That is, to be moved away from the Lord. He will never allow anything in our life that will move us away from him or from our standing in Christ and our union with him. But the point here is the Lord permits these things. And that's the idea in which David has in the first part of the verse. When he talks about this burden, it is that which has been given to us by divine permission, by divine providence in the purpose of God. You remember how the Apostle Paul, I think it is in Philippians, this just comes by way of memory. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, he says, verse 27 to get the beginning of the sentence, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. What is he saying? He's saying it's given. This suffering, this conflict, this burden, it's given by the Lord. It is the gift of God. And so David here in this text, in this statement, he's identifying, he's describing the reality of burden bearing. Yes, there is a burden to be borne. The burden of service. But sometimes it is the burden of suffering and adversity and hardship. And what we've got to keep in mind is that that burden is given by the Lord. That's the sense of this term. That's the root from which it comes. It is given. It is appointed by the Lord. It is the lot that has been appointed to us by the providence of God. How often do we stop to consider our burden as something that's given by the Lord? And yet that's the very root that David uses. And of all the times that the word burden occurs in the Old Testament, this is the only time that it is taken from the root verb meaning to give. The gift of the Lord, given by the Lord. Cast that which is given upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. But that leads us to the second thought that David brings to our attention here. Not only does he describe the reality of burden bearing, but he discerns the reason for burden bearing. David recognized a divine appointment in his circumstances. His burden was the gift of the Lord, appointed by the Lord in providence. And that thought caused him to inquire as to the reason for such a gift. Why has the Lord given this? Why has the Lord permitted this? Think of David and his circumstances. Absalom has risen up in rebellion against him. Many of the people have sided with him. Ahithophel has turned against David, betrayed him. And David, as he looks at that circumstance, he sees there the hand of God. He sees the appointment of the Lord. This is the burden. This is what has been given by the Lord. And if it has been given by the Lord, then I must inquire as to why it has been given. Why has the Lord given this? The fruit of his inquiry uncovered the divine reason. And there you have it in the text. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. The Lord has given this burden. The Lord has appointed these circumstances so that they may be the means of the Lord proving himself to us and of our experiencing of his gracious provision. It is in the midst of the burden that we experience the sustaining grace of God. He shall sustain thee. David found the reason and he found the answer. The word sustain here is a very interesting word because it's a word that's translated quite a number of ways in the Old Testament. For instance, if you look at 2 Samuel chapter 19, and this brings us to the very same time in David's life. You see, remember he had to flee from Jerusalem out into the wilderness. There he was with his men who were faithful to him. And what happened? Who came to help him? Barzillai. We looked at Barzillai a few weeks ago. or 2 weeks ago, 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 32. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Now, is it the case? Is it the case that Psalm 55 was written at the time when Barzillai came to David? Because when he came to David, you remember how he brought that provision of food and refreshment for David and for his men. The word provided here is the very same word that David uses in Psalm 55 and verse 22, translated to sustain. And the thought there is, if you cast your burden upon the Lord, he shall provide for you. He shall provide for you. And perhaps David was out somewhere in the wilderness. Perhaps it was at Mahanaim. And as he's contemplating his circumstances, and this man Barzillai comes with such a provision for David and his men, as David thinks of that provision, he takes the very same word and he says to himself, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall provide for thee. He shall sustain thee. So the Lord allows this burden to come. He gives these circumstances in our lives in order that they may bring us to a place where we will prove the provision of the Lord. The Lord provides in the very midst of that burdensome situation. But if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, you will find a second or another way in which this word is translated. Jeremiah chapter 2 and the verse 13. The Lord is speaking now of Jerusalem. And he says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That word hold is the same word that's translated to sustain. Let us read the text like this. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall hold thee. He shall hold thee. Amos 7 verse 10, you don't need to look it up, but the translation there is to bear thee. The land shall not be able to bear their words. To bear, it's the same idea as holding. The Lord holds up. If you turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 11. Jacob has learnt that Joseph is still alive in Egypt. It's the time of famine. The revelation has come that Joseph is still alive. And Joseph now is sending for his father. And he gives this command to his brethren in verse 9. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household, and all that thou hast, come to poverty. Look at the word nourish. It's the same word that's translated in Psalm 55. Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall nourish thee. What has that idea of nourishment? What is the idea of nourishment? It is, well, if you look here, in the circumstances, there's famine. And Joseph is saying that if you're not nourished, then all that you have will come to poverty. You'll be reduced in strength. But if you come down to me, I will nourish, I will provide for you, I will feed you, I will strengthen you, so that you will be kept alive in the famine. And what the Lord is saying to us in Psalm 55 is this, that He allows the burden to come. He places the burden upon our shoulders, upon our life, so that in that season, He not only will provide for us, He not only will hold us up and bear us up, but He will nourish us. He will strengthen us so that we are able to bear that burden. So that we are able to be kept in that burden. Malachi chapter 3 gives us another rendering of this verb. Malachi 3, verse 2. But who shall abide the day of His coming? It's the word abide. And what does that word abide mean? Well, look at the next part. Who shall stand when He appeareth? To abide means that you're standing in the same place. You're not moved. You're not moved. You abide. And so what David is saying, the Lord gives us the burden. He places that burden of circumstances upon our lives. He brings them upon our lives so that in that season, the Lord will prove Himself to us. The Lord will provide for us. The Lord will hold us up. The Lord will nourish us so that we will be able to abide and stand firm and steadfast in the midst of the most adverse of circumstances. You see, the Lord's purpose is not so much to take the burden away. That's not what this text is saying. So often that's the way that it's viewed and it's interpreted. That if we cast our burden upon the Lord, then the idea is that the Lord takes the burden away. But that's not the sense here. The burden is given by the Lord so that that burden will be the very means of our strengthening in the faith. And strengthening in the Lord. And the Lord will bear us up. The Lord will provide for us. The Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will make us able to endure. And the Lord will bring us through. Whilst we bear the burden. So viewed in that light, the burden is actually a blessing. If only we had eyes to see it. It was in that season when the burden was placed upon David that David experienced the sustaining grace and power of God, the provision of God, the nourishment of God, the holding up of God's hand, enabling him to abide, bringing him through, and making him the stronger for it. It is the burden that makes us stronger as Christians. And thus we discern here the reason for the burden. But notice finally that David in this text directs the reaction to the bearing of the burden. What does he direct us to do? How should we react to this burden that the Lord gives us in life? He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Now I want you to notice, before we look at this direction, I want you to notice where it is placed in the psalm. It's placed at the very end. And the reason why it is placed at the end is because what comes before it are the alternative reactions that we are so often tempted to pursue when it comes to the burdens of life. Look at verse 2. He talks about complaining. I mourn in my complaint. Is that not a reaction that we're often tempted to do when the burdens of life come upon us? We complain. We complain against the Lord. We question His wisdom, His purpose, His providence. David did that. David complained. And then we're tempted to give up. You see there in verse 4, he says, "My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Horror hath overwhelmed me." He's in a situation now where he would just give up because of this burden that has been brought upon him. And then in verse 6, you see, there is that temptation to flee away, to run away. "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Oh yes, there's a burden in the Christian life. And how many times we are tempted just to flee away, run away, give up and run away. Remember, Jonah did that. But he found it wasn't the answer. And then in verse 9, you see how there is also the temptation to wish ill to those who cause the ill. "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues." If the particular burden is caused by others, if it is an adversity that is caused by others, very often the temptation is to react in a way that would wish ill upon those who are the cause of the ill in our life. These are all the alternative reactions. And David went through them all. He was just a man. He was just flesh as we are. And we will face these temptations. But you see, he comes at the end to the right reaction. And it is to cast thy burden upon the Lord. Cast it. The word cast means to throw. What the Lord has given to us, we are to give back to Him. We are to give it to the Lord in prayer. For that's what this psalm is. It's a psalm of prayer. Verse 1, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." How do we cast our burden upon the Lord? We do so by prayer, in prayer. We tell the Lord about it, whatever the burden is. Whatever it is that weighs upon us. Whatever it is that puts that pressure of weight upon our hearts. We cast it upon the Lord in prayer. We bring it to the Lord. David's pouring out his heart to the Lord. You see all these different emotions that have been running through him in response to his circumstances. He's overwhelmed. He would give up. He's complained. He desires to run away. He has that feeling against the people that were causing this trouble. And he's expressing it all here in prayer. He's bringing it to the Lord. And in doing so, he's casting it upon the Lord. That's what it means to cast our burden upon the Lord. But this idea of casting also means that we're to cast it upon the Lord in patience and submission. That whatever the Lord's will may be, we may submit to it. In relation to the burden. There was an old lady, very seriously ill, and she was asked by her friends whether she would prefer to live or die. And she said that she had no preference. She only wished the will of the Lord to be done. And then her friends came back to her and they said, "Well, if the Lord were to give you the choice, if the Lord were to say to you, choose what you would want, what would you do?" And she said, "I wouldn't make the choice. I would rather the Lord would make the choice." She was submitting to His will. Because the Lord's choice is always infinitely wise and infinitely good. And so when we cast our burden upon the Lord, we do so in prayer, but we do so in patience, submitting to the will of the Lord, whether He will lift the burden from us or whether He will give the strength to sustain us in the midst of the burden. And then we cast that burden upon the Lord in faith, believing that what He permits, He will give the grace to face and to endure, and He will order all things for our good. You see David's faith there? He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He's casting it on the Lord in the faith and in the confidence that whatever the Lord shall answer or respond by, it will be good. It will be perfect. It will be acceptable. So here he directs us regarding the reaction to the burden. Cast it upon the Lord. Give it back to Him. Submit to His will and believe that He will do that which is good and that which is right concerning the burden, either taking away the burden or else giving the back to bear the burden. Cast it upon the Lord. Whatever the burden is tonight that weighs upon our hearts, let's make this a time when we will throw it to the Lord, upon the Lord. And as Spurgeon says, he has a great sermon on this text. He says, when you cast your burden on the Lord, leave it there. Don't go away with it. Don't go away with the weight of it. But leave it there. Leave it there. And let the Lord deal with the burden, whether it be to remove it or whether it be to give you the grace that you need to be sustained and to be held up in the midst of bearing the burden given by the Lord. Let's turn in closing to the hymn 584. Cast thy burden on the Lord, only lean upon His word, thou wilt soon have cause to bless His eternal faithfulness.